dry and musty and ancient he came to look as he went on. Presently he turned to me and said, just as one might speak of the weather or any other common matter, "You know about transmigration of souls. Do you know about transposition of epochs and bodies?" I said I had not heard of it. He was so little interested, just as when people speak of the weather, that he did not notice whether I made him any answer or not. There was half a moment of silence, immediately interrupted by the droning voice of the salaried cicerone. "Ancient Hauberk, date of the 6th century, time of King Arthur and the Round Table, said to have belonged to the knight Sir Sagramore le Desirous. Observe the round hole through the chainmail in the left breast. Can't be accounted for. Supposed to have been done with a bullet since invention of firearms, perhaps maliciously by Cromwell's soldiers." My acquaintance smiled. Not a modern smile, but one that must have gone out of general use many, many centuries ago, and muttered apparently to himself, "Wit ye well, I saw it done." Then after a pause added, "I did it myself." By the time I had recovered from the electric surprise of this remark, he was gone. All that evening I sat by my fire at the Warwick Arms, steeped in a dream of the olden time, while the rain beat upon the windows and the wind roared about the eaves and corners. From time to time I dipped into old Sir Thomas Malory's enchanting book and fed at its rich feast of prodigies and adventures, breathed in the fragrance of its obsolete names, and dreamed again. Midnight being come at length, I read another tale for a nightcap, this which here follows, to wit: How Sir Lancelot Slew 2 Giants and Made a Castle Free. Anon withal came there upon him 2 great giants, well armed, all save the heads, with 2 horrible clubs in their hands. Sir Lancelot put his shield afore him, and put the stroke away of the 1 giant, and with his sword he clave his head asunder. When his fellow saw that, he ran away as he were wood, demented, for fear of the horrible strokes, and Sir Lancelot after him with all his might, and smote him on the shoulder, and clave him to the middle. Then Sir Lancelot went into the hall, and there came afore him 60 ladies and damsels, and all kneeled unto him, and thanked God and him of their deliverance. "For, sir," said they, "the most part of us have been here this 7 year their prisoners, and we have worked all manner of silk works for our meat, and we are all great gentlewomen born, and blessed be the time, knight, that ever thou wert born, for thou hast done the most worship that ever did knight in the world, that will we bear record, and we all pray you to tell us your name, that we may tell our friends who delivered us out of prison." "Fair damsels," he said, "my name is Sir Lancelot du Lake." And so he departed from them and betaught them unto God. And then he mounted upon his horse and rode into many strange and wild countries, and through many waters and valleys, and evil was he lodged. And at the last, by fortune, him happened against a knight to come to a fair courtelage, and therein he found an old gentlewoman that lodged him with a good will, and there he had good cheer for him and his horse. And when time was, his host brought him into a fair garret over the gate to his bed. There Sir Lancelot unarmed him, and set his harness by him, and went to bed, and anon he fell on sleep. So, soon after, there came one on horseback, and knocked at the gate in great haste. And when Sir Lancelot heard this, he rose up, and looked out at the window, and saw by the moonlight 3 knights come riding after that 1 man, and all 3 lashed on him at once with swords, and that 1 knight turned on them knightly again and defended him. "Truly," said Sir Lancelot, "yonder 1 knight shall I help, for it were shame for me to see 3 knights on 1, and if he be slain, I am partner of his."